From NPR News, this is Day to Day. You may have heard something a few weeks ago about how getting struck by lightning is even worse if you're carrying a cell phone. Many news organizations reported about the cell phone lightning connection that appeared in the British Medical Journal. But did you hear anything about the follow-up letters in the same journal, the ones that debunked the first report? Probably not. Here to talk about this lack of journalistic follow-through is Dr. Sidney Spiesel. He's a professor at the Yale Medical School, and he writes about health for the online magazine Slate, and he joins us from his busy pediatrics practice. Welcome back, Sid.
Hi, Madeline.
Well, I was away on vacation, so I didn't hear this original story. So tell us about that, the cell phone lightning connection.
Well, the story is that there were three British ear, nose, and throat specialists who wrote a report in a major journal, the British Medical Journal, and what they reported was the case of a 15-year-old girl who had been talking on her cell phone in a storm in a London park a year ago. She was struck by lightning. She suffered a cardiac arrest. She was resuscitated. And now, a year later, we don't have a very clear description of what's happened to her, but she's described as wheelchair-bound. She has physical, cognitive, and emotional problems, and she has a perforated eardrum on the side that she was holding the cell phone.
So from this one case, they've determined that it's dangerous to have a cell phone when you're struck by lightning.
Well, sort of. They actually found two other cases, or maybe three other cases, I forget, in the not very medical literature, some news items and things like that. And from that, they decided that it was some kind of a danger that should be written about, and they did write about it.
And then there were the responses, and what did they say?
Well, a couple of weeks later, there were two letters in the British Medical Journal. One was by a guy named Ramsey Farragher, who was a PhD student in physics at Cambridge, and another was by a guy named Chris Althaus in telecommunications from Australia. They both pointed out weaknesses in the understanding of physics of lightning and of electricity. The implication of the story was that the cell phone, more correctly, sort of attracted lightning, or if it didn't do that, it at least they certainly said that the metallic object of the cell phone channeled the electricity from the lightning into the patient, and that did the harm. And these two authors pointed out that, well, lightning doesn't work that way. In fact, it rarely really enters people. And in fact, cell phones are mostly plastic, not metal. Even I am, God knows, no physicist, even I knew the science was wrong. So I looked to see if there was any follow-up on it, and these two stories appeared, and I was unable to find any follow-up in the press at all, in the media at all.
Does this tell you something larger about how other medical stories are covered in the press?
Well, I think it says something about both the coverage by both the scientific and the medical press, which is intended for professionals, and by the mainstream press, which is intended for all of us, because both covered this story. And they didn't get it. They just took the story at face value. They didn't look at it. And they played it because it was clear that sensation and scariness get a lot of play. That increased anxiety, that sense that there's something scary about the world all the time, partly causes us to misunderstand the real risks of our environment by focusing on the trivial, and in this case, the incorrect.
That's opinion and analysis from Dr. Sidney Spiesel. He's a pediatrician and a professor at the Yale Medical School. He also writes the Medical Examiner column for the online magazine Slate, and he does all this while not talking on the cell phone. Thank you very much, Dr. Spiesel.
Thank you.
Stay with us on Day to Day from NPR News. Thank you.